In two places this morning. As we continue, now this is the fourth in a series of five messages. Not a fan, but a follower. Commitment to Jesus Christ. First in Luke chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 23, and then we'll skip over to Luke chapter 14, and we'll begin reading there at verse 25. This is the word of God. Luke 9, 23 through 27. Then Jesus said to the crowd, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose or forfeit your own soul in the process? If a person is ashamed of me and my message, I, the Son of Man, will be ashamed of that person when I return in my glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. And I assure you that some of you standing here right now will not die before you see the kingdom of God." And now please turn with me over a couple of chapters to Luke chapter 14. And there we begin reading at verse 25. Great crowds were following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple." You cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first getting estimates and checking to see if there is enough money to pay the bills? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of funds. And then how everyone would laugh at you. They would say, "There's a person who started to build and ran out of money before it was finished." Or what king would ever dream of going to war without first sitting down with his counselors and discussing whether his army of 10,000 is strong enough to defeat the 20,000 soldiers who are marching against him? If he is not able, then while the enemy is still far away, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace. So no one can be my disciple without giving up everything for me. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how do you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good for neither the soil nor for fertilizer. It is thrown away. Anyone who is willing to hear should listen and understand. And we end the reading of God's word. Is Jesus enough? Is not the one that I really want. What's that? You don't have another one? Ah, okay. Well, let's get rid of that one because that was last week. And you'll just have to listen. There we go. When you're watching television, you're bound to see a series of commercials during that particular program you're watching. And we all know that TV commercials entertain us into buying things. We may not know when the commercial begins what it is they're selling, and that doesn't matter to the people who are producing the commercial as long as they capture your attention and then they've got you. And then it's there. It's interesting. We also know that those ads appeal to something in us that is deep in the core of every human being, this self-indulgence, this idea of wanting to have a pleasure-seeking pursuit. And so when we see, we want. We watch them. And we watch them over and over and over again. Even when we know what the product is, even when we know what the punchline is, even when we've already laughed at what the joke is in the commercial, we still watch it. We still watch it. We're told that we need and that we deserve more things. And after all, we know. These messages just keep hammering away at us that we not only need this stuff, but it's the best stuff that we need. Whether we can afford it or not, we got to have it. And after a while, that message begins to break us down and we buy it. Don't we? We know we do because we have it. We buy it and then we're happy. Well, at least for a little while, and then we see another commercial. Then we want that. It's against this background that it's hard to hear Jesus speak the message that we read from Luke this morning. Listen to it again. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition. And then again from Luke 14, if you want to be my follower, you must love me more than your father and mother, your wife and children, your brothers and sisters, yes, even more than your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. Did you notice that in both of those verses, Luke 23 and Luke 9:23 and Luke 14:26, in both of those verses, they began with, if you want to be my follower. Jesus is not making suggestions to us here. He's not offering us a wide array of options. Go ahead and pick these things. He's saying there are certain conditions of being a disciple that you must know about. They're non-negotiable. They're what being a disciple is all about by definition. That's what he's talking about here. Jesus' words do indeed describe the difference between being a fan and being a follower. A follower, as we've been thinking about for the last few weeks, must be a completely dedicated, committed Christian. The life of a follower, we're learning in these passages today, are going to be those things that are happening to us. There's going to be some difficult times along the way. We sang about it. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some sacrifice. There's going to be some giving and obedience, and even as he says, the daily taking up of crosses. Now, when the people who were alive when this was written heard this, when Jesus spoke this and those who heard him speak it, they knew what he was talking about, crosses. We have some decorative crosses over here on the wall as symbols of our Christian faith. But in that culture, in that day, those crosses meant death. And it meant death in a very cruel and harsh, hard way. Torture is what it meant. And so what is Jesus saying here? He's saying that we need to be prepared to deny ourselves. There's something in us that needs to be put to death every day. Let's figure out what that is. We'll be talking about it. Oh, boy. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Jesus said, if you give up your life for me, you will truly find your life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose or forfeit your soul in the process? Three things that I want us to know about this idea of denying ourselves as we think about what it means to be a committed follower of Jesus. First, fans of Jesus want him to give them everything they want. So if you're filling out your bulletin there, it's everything they want. I mean, when you think about it, people who are new to the Christian faith, they read the scripture, they hear the stories of the gospels, and they pick up on things like, well, Jesus can turn water into wine. Wouldn't that be cool? Jesus can multiply bread. Jesus can heal all kinds of injuries and illnesses. Jesus can even raise the dead. Jesus can forgive sins. Jesus can cast out demons. And as people hear this, they're saying, that is awesome. And it is. That is spectacular. And it is. Fans of Jesus are attracted to Jesus' power. And their tendency then is to say, if I got close to this Jesus, then he will produce that power in my life anytime I want him to. Anytime I have a need or a request or a desire. But there's one thing that we need to learn about what it means for us to be a follower of Jesus, and that is that Jesus is the Almighty God, the sovereign ruler of all things. And as the sovereign God, the Almighty, powerful creator of all things, Jesus is not in the business of being at our command. Oh, he loves us. He loves us dearly, and he cares for us, and he does meet our needs. But he's not going to give us everything we demand, because he knows what's right. He knows what's good. He knows what we really have to have. And sometimes that includes some rough places, some hard times. Oh, you found it. Okay, thank you. Sometimes that includes some tough times, some difficult periods in our life. He allows those to happen. Why? Dan touched on it a little bit before we prayed. I think Jesus wants to strengthen us. I think he wants to toughen us up in life. He wants to allow us to rely and depend on him. He wants us to come to him, gravitate toward him. Let him rule our lives. Secondly, followers of Jesus sacrificially set aside their own interests to serve him. Now, denying ourselves is not easy. It's not the natural thing to do, honestly. It really isn't. It doesn't come naturally for us. It comes in yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, who works in our lives and in our hearts, giving us the desire to set aside what we've always thought we wanted in order that we can serve our Lord Jesus Christ, and in so doing, receive what we really need in order to find out that in the process, we are completely satisfied. Did you get that? When we ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, he works in our hearts and we're able to serve Christ. And it becomes easy then for us to give up what we thought we wanted. Because in the process of serving Christ, we have what we really need. And we find that that's ultimately what satisfies us. Try this. Try the prayer to the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit, that third person in the Trinity, ask God to come into your life in such a way to change your heart, to change your mind. And you know what? That will be answered in such a way as totally amaze you, and you will find that your whole life is in the process of being changed. Serving Jesus with our time and our resources is a difficult sacrifice when? Fill in the blank. It's a difficult sacrifice when we can think of a thousand ways to spend that time and those resources on ourselves, right? That's when it becomes a difficult thing. However, if we're ready to give ourselves to the Lord totally, completely, so that what we do is done in obedience to Jesus, then doing what He wants us to do with our time and resources becomes the natural way to live. And then living for Jesus on a daily basis becomes no sacrifice at all. His blessings include His presence with us. There's never a moment when He's not with us. He's not available to us. The blessings of God in our life, the fruit of the Spirit in our life, evidenced God's daily blessing. Third thing to think about in terms of these sacrifices and denying ourselves, and that is followers willingly join Jesus in His mission. In my years of ministry, I've witnessed many people coming to the Lord. I've had the privilege of being there when the last link in a chain of events has happened, when a person is ready to say, I want to give my heart and my life to Jesus. It's just an awesome, awesome experience. It's exciting to see people just make that decision and their life began to change. It really is. Their lives then become intertwined with Jesus' mission. And Jesus' mission is to bring His gospel message to as many people as will hear it. And so we become a committed follower of Jesus. Our mission is to share that mission, and our mission then will be especially suited to who we are, how God has made us, and what gifts He's given us, and how we develop those gifts that He's given us. And it may be that right now, in your life and in your season of life right now, your mission may be to a very narrow circle of people in your own family. Could be. It could be that God is calling you to be a missionary to your children, or to your parents, or to your brothers or your sisters. It may be that Jesus is calling you to be a missionary right in your home. It may be that Jesus is calling you to be a missionary to the people that live around you in your local neighborhood, the person that you've never met that lives across the street. You've seen, you've waved, you have no idea what they live like and who they are. Maybe that's your mission. Those folks that live across the backyard fence. Maybe it's the people right in the circle of this fellowship. There might be a person that God is putting on your heart that you are uniquely equipped to be a missionary to. Yes, to bring the gospel good news to. But there may be somebody that just needs what you have in terms of your mercy and your compassion and your wisdom so that you can pour out yourself to that person. It may be that God has called you to go beyond the circle of your local neighborhood to some rough section of an urban area. It may be that God has called you to go to some rural place where they farm and there's animals and critters that you've never really gotten too close to. It may be that God is sending you to another country. But wherever you are sent as a committed follower of Jesus, you will find joy. I am convinced of that. You will find joy because it's your mission. That there will be joy for you does not mean that there will be a whole life of ease and comfort. That there'll be joy for you does not mean that you won't run into some difficulty along the way, some hardship, some pain, some emotional suffering. It doesn't mean that you're going to be safe. Jesus said, carry up your cross daily. Signing up to be a committed follower of Jesus does not equate to security and comfort. It just doesn't. Following Jesus could and probably should and maybe ultimately will put you on some new and strange paths, and some of those paths could be precarious. But the Lord will be with you. Think of the adventures that you'll have. Think of the stories you'll tell. I want to recommend to you a book that I read some time ago. It's by Mark Batterson, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. It's a great book. He's got something here. I don't usually read to you, but I could paraphrase this, but I want you to hear it in his words. It was about a year ago that I was part of a team that went on a mission trip to Ethiopia. We helped plant a church in a capital city of Addis Ababa, and we went to serve a church in a variety of capacities. That week was filled with unforgettable experiences. We built a mud hut for an Ethiopian grandmother. We played duck, duck, goose with kids at an elementary school. He had an opportunity, he says, to preach to thousands of Ethiopian believers. He said, with people who responded with enthusiasm, he very rarely experiences in the United States. He says, before going on the trip, everybody on the team was a little nervous. It was during a time of political unrest. We were subjecting ourselves to a variety of third world diseases, and even drinking the water and eating the food was done conscientiously. So all of us were anxious, but one member of the team, Sarah, was downright fearful, especially when she learned we were going to camp out in one of the national parks. Somehow, knowing that there were armed guards that would keep watch over us by night didn't ease her mind. Neither did the crocodiles we saw in the river or the lions we heard around the campfire at night. But I was so proud of her. Sarah faced her fear. She trusted her team. She genuinely believed that God was calling her to go on that trip. And because she pushed through her fears, she experienced some of the most amazing memories. She decided to give her life in a way that was worth telling stories about. Here's her quote. There are a million reasons why I shouldn't go. I'm not an evangelist. I don't have any special talents. I don't have $3,000 laying around. I've never been west of the Mississippi River, much less out of the Western Hemisphere. I'm not a physically ambitious person. I can't survive without electricity and running water. But I only know one reason to go. I was called. A little later on, he tells this. For what it's worth, none of the things Sarah was afraid of happened. The plane didn't crash. She didn't get sick. She wasn't eaten alive by a wild animal. The only bad thing that happened to her was getting pooped on by a baboon. I kid you not. There must have been about 50 baboons of all shapes and sizes hanging out in the campsite. Actually, we were hanging out in their campsite. One of them, high up in the tree, launched a baboon bomb. I'm not sure if he was aiming or not. I do know that it was nasty. It was gross enough. But what a icebreaker at parties. Hey, I got pooped on by a baboon once. How many people do you know that can say that? What a story. That's when you know you're living life to the fullest. You don't know what adventures you're missing. You really don't. Until you step out in faith when Jesus calls you to deny yourself. Followers of Jesus are called to share in his suffering. None of us look forward to having to endure a difficult time or a painful experience or even getting pooped on by a baboon. None of us look forward to that. But God has promised to be with us. He'll sustain us. He'll comfort us as only he can. If we share, Scripture says, in Jesus' suffering, we will also share in his glory. That's amazing. That's amazing. So the question is, are you willing to put Jesus ahead of your wants in life? You see, becoming a fully devoted and committed follower of Jesus requires not just faith, intellectual assent to a set of beliefs. It requires courage to take a step out. There's always the temptation to default to the easy path. I'm going to tell you a story in my own life. I've only told this story a couple of times to select people. After I felt a call to leave my work in the National Park Service, I packed up everything we owned in the Everglades and we went up here to Holland and I started seminary. After 3 years of seminary, I was called to a church in Kalamazoo. After I was installed, ordained in that church, one of the old-timers at the church that night came up to me, pulled on my coat, really, literally, and tugged me over closer to him, and he says, I want you to know something. He said, if you are doing good things and you're doing all right things here, we won't ever tell you about that. You mess up, you'll hear about it. Okay, you know. Nice to meet you too, sir. After a year, I got a telephone call from one of my seminary buddies, and he was all excited. He said he had a great first year. We hadn't been in contact all this time. And he said to me, he said, church just threw us a party celebrating our first anniversary. I said, well, that's great. That's nice. You know, it must feel good. He said, yeah, it did. It felt real good. He says, what'd your church do? Well, nothing. You know, I mean, I hadn't even thought about it. But you know what that did? Dropped a few seeds of thoughts into my heart. And I began to think, yeah, they really should have done something, huh? No kidding. It was that week I got a call. Not from that same guy, a different guy, but he said, a couple of us would like to take you out for lunch. It's not a party, but lunch is okay. At lunch, in that public place, they found some things that they wanted to straighten me out on. And wow, I mean, I got into the ministry so that we could love each other and bless each other and you know, do those kind of things, and then just get slammed. I mean, I just felt slammed. And I remember going back to my office after that lunch, and I'll tell you what I thought of. I sat at my desk, to be honest with you, feeling sorry for myself. And I started thinking back to my last day in the Everglades. The superintendent drove from Flamingo all the way up to Shark Valley, over an hour drive, just to say goodbye to me. He said, come take a walk with me. We went for a walk, and we went to a place where there wasn't anybody else around, and he turned me around, and he looked at me, and he said, I'm going to miss you. I'm really going to miss you. He gave me a hug. I'm standing there like a telephone pole. And he said to me, if you ever want to come back to the Park Service, just give me a call. That was the day I remembered. It was all I could do. I was looking for the numbers, honestly. And I thought, well, maybe I better tell Linda about this. And then the second thought was, maybe I better pray about this. And I thought, surely God's going to say, yep, this is all the confirmation. You are supposed to go back to the Park Service. But he didn't. He said, whatever gave you the idea this was going to be easy? Whatever gave you the idea that this was going to be something that you were going to love all the time? Whatever gave you the idea that you're going to be appreciated by everyone all the time? That's what he told me. He says, you and I are okay. This is what I called you to do. Wow. You see, our natural self cries out to give up and to do anything else. But the calling that he has called us to in the mission that he has for us, even when it gets tough, even when it hurts, even when it's emotionally painful, even when you don't get the affirmation you think you deserve, we don't like to be rejected. And we don't want to go where people don't rush over and give you a hug. No, that's not where the natural self is. We want to just say, come on, Lord, this is what I really need and want. And he says, no. This is where I really need you. And if we begin to entertain thoughts of stopping, thinking we can get back and work with the Lord anytime, we just need a break. One day we're going to find out that we've gotten soft and we can't do it. We don't want to do it. We won't start again. Those things that we consider most important and most valuable in life, those are the things that we strive after. And Jesus is telling us, that ought to be me. That ought to be the Lord. See, followers of Jesus know up front what the cost is, what this is going to cost us in terms of commitment. Luke 14:28 in the New Living Translation records Jesus' bold statement, don't begin until you count the cost. You know, last week we talked about what Jesus had to say to that group that followed him across the lake after he fed them. And he said, you know, eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that thinned the crowd out. This will do it even more. He's saying, oh, you think you want to be a follower of mine? Don't even start until you count the cost. If you know what you're getting into, and then you step over the line, great, welcome, this is good. But don't even begin if you're not ready. Luke 14:33, no one can become my disciple without giving up. You know what the next word is? Everything. We're going to talk about that next week. That's going to be the theme next week. What does that mean? It's a little wonder in our culture. There are so many fans and so few followers. Our lives are so filled with material abundance that we're so accustomed to all of it that we make ourselves prisoners to it. We need to think seriously, folks, about what all of our idols are and how attached to them we really are, how much we really worship them, and can we give them up? Is Jesus really first? So what does it mean for us to carry our cross daily? What needs to be put to death? What is there in that selfish heart of yours and mine that needs to be yanked out and nailed to a cross and die? What is it? It's not pretty. Maybe our daily cross is maintaining a commitment to a high level of self-discipline with our resources with which we've been entrusted. Maybe our daily cross is swimming against the culture that we're in with all of its materialism. Maybe our daily cross is rooting out that self-centered core and killing it. Gonna conclude with this last question. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm going to give you a moment to read it on the screen. Think about it. I'm going to invite you in a moment of silence to pray over it. And then I'll come back with you. Let's pray together. Lord, these are hard things. These are challenging and demanding things. And we are in some ways stunned that we think about them out loud and consider what they mean for each of us personally, Lord. And you know the battle that we have with our flesh, our natural nature. And it's hard. And so we pray that you would send your Spirit into our hearts, into my heart, and help me root out all that rebels against you, and help me to prepare to kill it, and Lord, we confess that we have to do that every day. We want to be your followers. Lift us up, Lord. Empower us, fill us, remove our fears, give us the joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please?